This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع هداه ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We continue with our explanation of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah's book حقيقة الصيام or The Nature of Fasting. And in the last session we covered the third point. And so basically Ibn Taymiyyah mentions that there are some scholars who said that certain things break the fast, such as al-kuhul that you put in your eye, and certain treatments for certain open wounds, and injections, and so on and so forth. So the Shaykh mentioned their justification for that, and he mentioned how they mainly rely on qiyas, and so they don't have any evidence from the Quran or from the Sunnah stating that these things break the fast. No explicit statement from Allah or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so these scholars had resorted to qiyas. And we explained what qiyas means. Qiyas is a valid proof that is used in our sharia, but it has certain conditions that must be fulfilled in order for it to be valid. And so the Shaykh, what he is doing is he is refuting and critiquing this position held by these scholars, saying that these things break the fast. And he mentioned that their main justification and their main argument is qiyas. And so they used certain hadith and said that, you know, these things that break the fast are no different than those things that break the fast. And so what the Shaykh has been doing is, point by point, he has been refuting this justification that they used, that, you know, they have qiyas on their side. And so in total the Shaykh mentions 6 points. He mentions 6 points critiquing that view. And so we covered 3 so far, and today inshallah we're going to cover the remaining 3. And so the fourth point that the Shaykh mentions, is that that qiyas is only valid and can only be used when you know what the illah is. And we explained previously the meaning of illah. When it comes to qiyas, we have the most important pillar of qiyas is figuring out what the illah is. What is meant by illah? Illah is the reason for a particular ruling. So, for example, and we mentioned this example previously, alcohol is haram What is the reason for why it is haram? Because it intoxicates. And so you can use that reason for anything else, for anything else that we have in our times where we don't have evidence from the Quran or from the Sunnah to say that it is haram. But it resembles alcohol, and it resembles the alcohol based on that reason. So alcohol is haram because it intoxicates. We have something today, let's say drugs, certain drugs. It is haram because of the same reason, the same illah. So this we call the illah. So the Shaykh, he's saying that qiyas is only valid if we know the illah, the reason for a certain ruling. And that is after we follow the process of elimination. So basically what the Shaykh is saying here is that the scholars, how do they figure out what the illah of a certain ruling is? What is the reason behind a certain ruling? Either there's an explicit statement. So for example, Allah Azza wa Jal himself said that this is why this is haram. Or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this is haram, or this is, it could be any of the rulings, it could be haram, it could be halal, that this thing is haram or halal because of such and such. So this is an explicit statement proving that this is the illah. But how about where we don't have an explicit statement? This is where the scholars, they use their ijtihad, they try their best to figure out what the illah is. And so the Shaykh says the way to do that is by following the process of elimination. So you look at a certain ruling and you look at the descriptions of this ruling. So, you know, A, B, C, X, Y, and Z. These are the possible reasons for why that thing is haram or halal. And then you follow the process of elimination. You eliminate one by one to try to arrive at the closest, the strongest reason for why that thing is haram. So the Shaykh says that if we were to follow this process of elimination, sometimes we may be left with more than one possibility of why something is haram. And so we cannot take one and rule out the other. We cannot take one and then rule out the other and say the other is not the reason for why this thing is haram or halal. And once the Shaykh mentioned this, now he mentioned, right after that he mentions, so let us look at fasting. Let us look at fasting. And let us look at, the things that break the fast. So you have eating, you have drinking, and you have sexual intercourse, and you have menstruation, the menses. For women. These are the four things that we mentioned in the very beginning that are the four things that are unanimously agreed upon that they break the fast. Everything else that the scholars may have mentioned are not unanimously agreed upon. So so these are the things that break the fast. And then we have a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade the one who makes wudu to take the water into his nose and sniff it deeply if he is fasting. And that hadith we mentioned previously as well, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said بالغوا في الاستنشاق إلا أن تكون صائما. Sniff deeply the water into your nose so that you rinse it properly. Sniff it deeply, except if you're fasting. So if you're fasting, don't sniff it deeply, but just slightly. And the reason for that is because water will end up going into your throat and down into your stomach. The Sheikh says this hadith is what these scholars used as their main evidence for why certain things they considered break the fast. They did qiyas on this hadith. So they said, for example, al-kuhl that you put in your eyes, it breaks a fast. Certain treatments for certain open wounds, if you were to apply that treatment, it breaks a fast because that, you know, that treatment, that medicine, it penetrates and goes into the body. Likewise, injections. So what did they use as their main evidence? This hadith, by doing qiyas. The Shaykh says, وَهُوَ قِيَاسٌ ضَعِيفٌ. He says it is a weak qiyas. And then he explains why. And so he says, As we mentioned earlier, we have to look for the illa of the ruling, of the hukum. What is the illa? What is the reason for why this particular thing in our sharia is haram, or is halal, or is wajib, obligatory? Why? So these scholars, what they said is that the reason for why sniffing water deeply into the nose is prohibited for the one who fasts is because something will end up going into the brain. That's what they said. They said this is the illah. They said this is the reason for why it is not permissible for the fasting person to do that. And so anything that reaches the brain, then it breaks the fast, just like anything that reaches the stomach. And the same thing they said the same thing applies to kuhl that you put in your eyes. Some of it goes through the eyes and into the brain. And so the Sheikh, he says, that is not the reason for why it is not permissible to sniff deeply. But rather, the illah here, the reason for why it is prohibited, is because water will go from the nose into the throat and into the stomach. And then he adds, that this water, when it reaches the stomach, it gives nourishment to the body. And this is the key in our discussion concerning things that break the fast. Anything that enters your body and gives it nourishment, then that is what breaks the fast. And this is why eating and drinking is forbidden for the fasting person, because it gives you nourishment, as the Sheikh will explain. And so he says that even if we didn't have this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even then it would be known that the fasting person should not sniff deeply when he's performing wudu, because if he does that, water will end up going into his stomach, even if we did not have this hadith. Why? Because you don't want water going into your stomach. And so that is the illah. Not as these scholars said that, you know, it's going to reach the brain. And so the Sheikh says, with regards to these things that they claimed break the fast, none of them provide nourishment to the body. None of them provide nourishment to the body. Not alcohol that you use in your eyes, nor injections, whether it's an anal injection or any other kind of injection, nor treating wounds, open wounds, whether it's in the head or whether it's on the rest of the body. He says none of these things provide nourishment to the body. And he says, as for and this is where now the Shaykh is going to talk about the very nature of fasting. Why is it that eating and drinking was forbidden for the fasting person? What is the hikmah? What is the wisdom behind that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have made something else for us to stay away from during the month of Ramadan, other than food and drink. But specifically, he forbade food and drink. Why? And so now the Shaykh is going to talk about that, because this is directly related to the proper illah, the proper reason for why we're not allowed to sniff deeply and take water into our nose when we are performing wudu. And so the Shaykh, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامِ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Why was fasting prescribed? Because in order for us to attain taqwa. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, الصوم جنة. Fasting is a guard, it is a protection. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إن الشيطان يجري من ابن آدم مجرى الدم فضيقوا مجاريه بالجوع بالصيام. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that shaitan runs in the son of Adam like blood runs in the veins. And this is the hadith. The second part that was mentioned here is not a part of the hadith, and that is فَضَيِّقُوا مَجَهْرِيهِ بِالْجُوعِ بِالصِّيَامِ. After the Prophet ﷺ said, you know, shaitan runs in the son of Adam like blood runs in our veins, it is said that he said, squeeze these veins, tighten them, squeeze them, by keeping yourself hungry with fasting. This is not a part of the hadith, nor can it even be found in any of the books of hadith. And so as the scholars say, that this is something that was added to the hadith that is not a part of it. But what is authentic is that Prophet ﷺ said that shaitan runs, flows in the son of Adam, how our blood flows in our body. And now the Shaykh explains. He says, and so we are forbidden from eating. For what purpose? Because it will help us to attain taqwa. And so he explains this. What is the relationship between food and drink and taqwa? He explains. He says, staying away from food and drink, it causes our blood flow to slow down. And it does not allow our body to produce as much new blood. our energy goes down. Our bodily function, it weakens. And this was done on purpose. Allah did this on purpose. Why? Because shaitan, he flows within us like that, just like our blood, in the sense that when we have energy, that is when shaitan comes to us and tells us to do this and to do that. But when we don't have that energy, then his influence over us also weakens. And so the Shaykh says, this is because of nourishment that is provided to the body. When nourishment is provided to the body produces blood. And the blood starts to flow. And the person gains energy. As opposed to these other things that the scholars mentioned that break the fast, like al-kuhl in the eyes, injections, treating certain wounds, open wounds. He said, even if something is going into the body, it is not providing nourishment. And so it doesn't give the body that energy and that blood flow that is gonna help shaitan to, you know, come and push a person to do evil. And so based on this we understand that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade the fasting person from sniffing water into his nose deeply when he's performing wudu, that the reason for that is that you don't want water entering into your stomach, thereby giving you nourishment. And so that is the illah of the hukm. That is the reason for why it is prohibited for the fasting person to do that. After that, the Shaykh goes on to mention the fifth point. So this was the fourth point. Point number five, he says that we have textual evidence from the Quran, from the Sunnah, and also ijma', scholarly consensus, that the fasting person must stay away from food, from drink, and from sexual intercourse. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, mentioning that same hadith, that shaitan flows in the son of Adam like how blood flows. And then he says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, إِذَا دَخَلَ رَمَضَانَ فُتِّحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ وَغُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ النَّارِ وَصُفِّدَتْ الشَّيَاطِينَ. That when Ramadan starts, the gates of Jannah are opened, the gates of hellfire are closed, and the devils, the shayateen, are locked up. And then he says the same thing that we mentioned earlier, that when this happens, when the shayateen are locked up and the gates of hellfire are closed, this happens when the fasting person, he is staying away from food and drink, and this causes his body to weaken. And when that happens, the heart, the spiritual heart, then focuses its attention on what? On that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing good deeds. Why? Because he doesn't have the energy to do bad deeds. And the influence of shaitan is not really that strong because the shayateen, the devils, are locked up. And all of this happens because the fasting person is not gaining any nourishment. And that is the key point here. The fasting person is not gaining any nourishment. As opposed to these other things that enter the body, if they're entering the body and not providing nourishment, then it won't change the state of obedience that the fasting person is in. And then he answers the question of, okay, what if these things like alcohol that's used in the eyes or certain treatments for open wounds, what if they end up entering into the body through the blood vessels, through the veins? Then doesn't that enter into the veins and into the bloodstream, therefore, you know, providing energy and nourishment? And so the Shaykh, he answers this question. And so he says, no. This is no different than rubbing oil on your skin. Yes, some of that oil will penetrate your skin and go into your body. Even if it enters your bloodstream, it will not provide it nourishment. And so he says, it's fine if something enters the body and even goes into the bloodstream. There's nothing wrong with that. But if it does not provide nourishment, if it does not give nourishment to the body, then it doesn't matter. And then he mentions point number 6. And this is the last point that he mentions. And that is, that there are certain things that the fasting person is permitted to do, like smell certain perfumes or rub oil on his body. And so he says that kuhul in the eyes and, you know, certain treatments for open wounds, this is closer to, you know, scents that a person smells and goes into his nose, particles, and also, you know, rubbing oil. It's closer to that, which is permissible. And it is not closer to food and drink. The point that the Shaykh is making here is that these scholars who, you know, forbade these things for the fasting person, they did it based on qiyas, as we said. They looked at that hadith that we mentioned about sniffing water, and they said, this is similar. And so the Shaykh is saying, no, it's not similar to that, but rather it's similar to these other things that are permissible. Like smelling certain things, steam, even steam. You know, if you were in a steam room, yes, certain particles will enter into your nose and go into your body, but it's not like so much that it'll provide nourishment to your body. Likewise, oil that you rub, it'll penetrate and go into your body, but it does not break your fast. Likewise, alcohol. He's saying that alcohol and these other things are closer in resemblance to these things, and they should be made to resemble these things which are permissible for the fasting person to use. And then the Sheikh mentions a very good point, and that is that even if now he's basically addressing this question of that which you may take into your mouth, and it does not provide nourishment. So now they're asking, okay, how about if you were to eat, let's say, dirt or stones? It's going into your mouth, and you're eating it, you're swallowing it, it goes into your stomach. So they say, this does not provide nourishment. It does not provide nourishment, but yet it breaks the fast. So now the Sheikh, he addresses this doubt here, that, or this objection, that you said, you know, only that which provides nourishment to the body breaks the fast. But how about these things? If you swallow it, it breaks the fast. And this is agreed upon, that basically anything that you enter in through your mouth or your nose and it goes into your stomach, then it breaks the fast regardless of what it is. And so the Sheikh answers this doubt and this objection by saying that even if it enters into the stomach and it's not providing nourishment, it becomes dissolved in the stomach. The stomach digests it. And something, even if it's a small amount, will go into your bloodstream and provide nourishment. But it's a very small amount. But because it was dissolved by the stomach, it will go on to provide nourishment, but a deficient nourishment, not a good perfect nourishment. And so this is why it is forbidden for the fasting person to enter, to swallow anything that goes into the stomach, regardless of what it is, whether it is nourishing or not, whether it is something that provides nourishment or not. We don't look at whether it provides nourishment or not, if it is entering through the regular passageway, which is the mouth or the nose. Why? Because of this reason that the Sheikh mentions. And so he says, this is no different than poison. If a fasting person was to drink poison, yes, it's not providing nourishment. It's harmful, but it still breaks the fast. Or anything else, he says. He says anything else that a person swallows that is harmful, it still breaks the fast. And he says, because these things, if they are harmful and they are haram for us to take, it's haram for a person to swallow poison while knowing that this is poison, because it's harmful to the body. If this is haram outside of Ramadan, when you're not fasting, then how about if you're fasting? He says this is the same like zina. Zina is haram inside Ramadan or outside of Ramadan. So how about if it was inside of Ramadan, when it is not permissible for you to have halal sexual relations with your wife? So if that is forbidden in Ramadan, then how about zina? Then it's even worse. And so that is the analogy that the Sheikh uses here. To basically say that what enters your body through your mouth if it is entering through your mouth and, you know, ending up in your stomach, even if it is something harmful, it is haram. It is haram, even if it is not something that provides nourishment. And so the conclusion that we come to, the summary of everything that was mentioned here, is that we basically have two passageways, or we basically have the normal passageway to the stomach, which is the mouth and the nose. Anything entering through these normal passageways leading to the stomach, it breaks a fast regardless of what it is. Regardless of what it is. But anything entering from any other point of the body, that is entering into the body, we look at, does that thing provide nourishment to the body or not? Because there is no direct, there is no direct passageway to the stomach from other than the mouth and the nose. Yes, there may be certain ducts in the body, certain small avenues that go from certain parts of the body to the stomach, but they are not direct. Such as, you know, the eye, they say that there is a duct that goes and connects with the stomach. You know, injections that you get, IVs, or muscular injections, or any other kind of injection, anal injections, etc. But they're not direct. They're not direct. So this is where we look at, does that thing provide nourishment to the body or not? So if it provides nourishment, such as in the case of the IVs that we have nowadays that take glucose and provide it to the body of the sick person who is not able to eat or drink, then this breaks the fast without a doubt. This breaks the fast without a doubt, because it is providing nourishment. And nourishment is the very thing that we don't need in Ramadan in order to attain that level of taqwa. In order to attain that level of taqwa. And that's why the scholars say that hunger is the path that leads to Jannah. That hunger is a path that leads to Jannah, because it is a path that helps one to attain taqwa. Because when you don't eat, or you eat very little, you don't have that energy to be pushed to do that which is haram. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ advised the youth to get married, if they're able to, and if they're not able to, then they should fast. Why did he mention fasting? Because fasting lowers your energy. And so you're not as keen on committing zina when you are in that state of fasting. You know, when your body doesn't have that energy. So this is what the Shaykh mentioned here. And then after that, he mentions another objection, and this is where we'll stop, inshallah, where basically the objection is, so how about sexual intercourse? So we've understood eating and drinking, it provides nourishment to the body, that helps one, or if a person wants to stay away from that, from food and drink, that helps one to attain taqwa. But how about sexual intercourse? You know, that what is the relationship between that and fasting? So the Shaykh will answer this objection that is raised, and we will cover that, inshaAllah ta'ala, in the next session. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us all of our good deeds, our fasting, our qiyam, and all of our good deeds during this month. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us beneficial knowledge. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Allah shows the moment of regret that is inevitable in the life of every human being. So a person says, oh Allah, give me just a bit more time so I can give sadaqah and I can become righteous and correct my ways. Allah says, Allah is not going to delay. Allah is not going to give anyone more time.
Brothers and sisters, do we all not benefit in some way or the other from the masjid? So who will support us if we don't support ourselves? We are in the last 10 days of Ramadan, and as you all know, our good deeds are multiplied in this blessed month. Please, without any delay or hesitation, help us with our upkeep and expansion of the masjid so that we can serve you better.
Don't postpone. Don't put it off. Don't do it last minute because you don't know when death is going to come and in what state it's going to meet you. So as long as you have your senses, you have your awareness, you have your chance now, utilize it. Do not procrastinate.
Brothers and sisters, this Ramadan, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're going to launch the largest Quran Drive initiative in the history of Canada. As you know, the pandemic and the shutdown has made giving da'wah extremely difficult. So we thought, what better way to give da'wah than giving a copy of the Quran to as many people as possible.
I used to be an atheist, but from interacting with Muslims, I bought a Quran and fell in love with it. Halfway through the book, I knew this was the truth, so I became a Muslim.
Actually, I became Muslim without even reading the Quran. A big reason was because of Islam's pure monotheism. After I took my shahada, a brother of the masjid actually gave me a copy of the Quran, and as soon as I started reading it, it only strengthened my faith even more.
I was curious about the major religions of the world because I couldn't understand why people believe in God. So I got a copy of Quran. The verses really touched my heart. I had never read a book like this. After doing my research, I became a Muslim.
This Ramadan, multiply your rewards by sponsoring a copy of the Quran or a box. To learn more, please click the link below. Assalamu alaikum.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
That's why you came?